Welcome to the Legend Show on Triple Y with Melanie. Join me as I talk to Whyalla's biggest success stories. We dive deep into their trials, their tribulations, their highlights, and their heartbreak. It's a wild ride, so strap in, get your headphones ready, and join us for the Whyalla Legends Podcast. Welcome to the Legend Show. To kick things off, today I have one of Whyalla and Triple Y's favourite sons, Leroy Brown. Leroy grew up in Whyalla with his grandparents attending Catholic school, spending his days and nights at Triple Y doing radio after school. He then got his big break in Queensland before going on to be thrust into the limelight, being broadcast in Melbourne, Sydney, and Adelaide, attracting an audience of thousands, if not millions, of people all over Australia. Today, he's in the director's chair doing content directing. He's also dabbling in podcasting as part of a new way to capture audiences of the 21st century. It's great to have you here today, Leroy.
Melanie, what an absolute pleasure it is to be here. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's interesting, actually, because you normally podcast interviewing other people.
I'll be honest, this is very weird. Very, very different for me, but I'm happy to sit on the other side of the desk and see what comes out.
Great. So I guess we'll just go right back to the beginning, which was right here in Whyalla. Can you paint a picture of your life growing up in Whyalla?
I grew up with my grandparents, no longer with us. My grandparents, they were the salt of the earth. They would do anything for me. I loved my childhood in Whyalla. It's a steel town. Every man and their dog worked at BHP. I started at Our Lady Helper Christians Primary School, then I went to St. John's College. What is it now, Melanie? They've changed it.
I think it's called Samaritan College.
That's it. Both you and I shared a classroom at one point.
We did. I remember you very well.
I spent a lot of my childhood riding bikes up on, I think it's Wild Dog Hill in Whyalla, on my little BMX or mountain bike. And I also spent a lot of time playing soccer at Westlands Soccer Club, also Lions Soccer Club and the Wanderers. Gee, how good's my memory? Started in radio really early at 5YYY, which is, I believe, where you're sitting at the moment. So, yeah.
I am. I'm right here in the studio where you started your career. Can you tell me about the moment that you walked into Triple Y?
I just wanted to break in radio. Every Sunday I would hear Barry Bissell and Take 40 Australia come on the radio, and I would sit there by my radio and I would listen and I would count the songs. I'd have my paper log that I'd got from Trev's Records. I don't know if he's still around a while or not, but Trev's Records.
No.
And I'm like, I want to do that one day. Then I learned that 5YYY was a community radio station. It just allowed you to come in and be on air. And James started, so he was the first 16-year-old, I believe, to ever do it. And then I thought, you know, I could do that too. I wandered in, saw Neil Burns, Burnsy, who's still there. He is a legend of 5YYY. And he's like, yep, fill out this form, do this, and we'll put you through some training. And that was the beginning of the end for me.
So you were doing that and going to school at St. John's.
Yeah.
So how did you juggle school and radio?
I was not the least bit interested in school, I'll be honest with you, Melody. All I wanted to do was be a radio announcer, not by learning that A plus B equals C and everything else. What animals can I burn in a Bunsen burner? I've no interest. I'd wander into Triple Y sometimes two or three nights a week. Whenever someone was away, I was there. And Burnsy would ring me, oh, Leroy, no one, we've got no one on air this afternoon between 4 and 6. Before he'd actually hung up the phone, I was already at the station. For me, it was all about getting the flying hours under my belt and just getting better. As far as juggling school went, I would take people's requests in science class. People would pass me notes. And I'm not sure that ever happened with you or not, but I can roll off names like Bianca, Rebecca, and a few of the other girls would pass me notes. And then that afternoon, I'd straight to the radio station, right, what do they want to hear? I'd go through the CD library and I'd churn them out. So radio was going to happen. I was going to make it happen.
Do you remember the mobile phone that you had?
Oh, but you're gonna recall a story on me. I know it. Was it a little Ericsson with a front cover that changed colour? Was that the one? Is that the one you're talking about?
I have a hazy memory of you having a phone at school and they took it off you. I think that was for radio?
Yeah, that was several times they took it off me. Yep, absolutely. And I would say to them, no, I need this because the radio station says I need to have it. I was on call and it was all a load of rubbish. My excuse to have a phone, I think, at school because I looked cool.
Because nobody had phones then.
That's right. I've gone to the whole, check me out. I've got a phone.
Pretty cool. About that time, who were your mentors within Triple Y or within the Whaler community for radio?
Burnsy was a big one for me. I remember writing a book about, I reckon, 5 years ago, and he is in that book. He pretty much gave me my break. He was the one that let me loose on the air. I actually get my grandparents to drive me from Whaler to Adelaide every Tuesday night to do the Vaughan Harvey Radio School. He would encourage that. Brett Prince, if he's still around in Whyalla, was a very good and dear friend of mine. He was sort of a big, big part of my radio journey. Whenever I wanted a promo made for the show, he would do it for me. We would talk radio, and I believe he's working in commercial radio as well at the moment, Princey. He was a big one for me. Another good mate of mine, Fitzy, Stuart Fitzharris. Now, I'm not sure if he's with Triple Y anymore, but he was also a very dear friend of mine growing up, still is today. We did a lot of our radio together as well. So, yeah, when it came to mentors or people that got alongside me, those three cats.
And it's so good that you're so thankful because, I mean, you've done big things. Can you take us into that moment where you made that jump and got your break from community radio in Whyalla to actual paid commercial radio?
So it was a small country town in the sticks in Queensland. A job came up and I got the job. Now I was 16 years old and I was going to get on a plane the next day. I remember crying my eyes out because I didn't want to leave home. It was the biggest train wreck you have ever heard in your life because we were dealing with computer screens that I'd never seen before at community radio. And I rang my grandparents that night. I went, I want to come home. I'm done. Yeah. They drove all the way back to 4VL Charleville to pick me up. I remember driving back and I was just in tears. I remember Granddad said to me, you'll get another chance. I'm like, no, I've blown it. That's it. Got back to Whyalla, got back to 5YYY, started, you know, doing radio again, I suppose. I never ever thought I was going to make it again until one day, after about 6 to 12 months, I went, you know, I'm going to have another crack at this. And I rang 5RM in the Riverland and David Bye answered the phone. And I said, oh, mate, I want to send you an audio air check. And he goes, yep, you and the rest of the world. So his attitude was already off with me. But I went, okay, no worries. I hung up the phone and I went, you know what, I'm going to do better than this. So I armed myself with a demo tape and a resume because that's how we used to do things back in the day, demo tape on a cassette.
Yep.
Got in the car and I drove 8 hours to the Riverland. Walked up to the reception desk. I said, excuse me, is David Bye here? I'm here to see him. And she gave me the typical, oh, he's in a meeting. I said, but that's cool, but I'm not leaving here until I get to see him. I said, look, I've just driven 8 hours to hand in my resume and demo tape. She goes, look, I can just take it and hand it. I said, no. I need to see him. And she's like, oh, okay. Anyway, within a minute, she's gotten on the phone. She's very nervous. David, there's a guy's here to see you, and he's not leaving until he does. And then next thing you know, David's come bouncing down the hallway. Oh, Leroy Brown, is it? I said, yep, that's me. He goes, well, let's go into the office. And that was it. A day later, I get a phone call from him going, mate, we're creating a job for you. We really love to have you on board. This one was my first official full-time role, and that's where it all started.
Can you tell me about getting the Triple M gig in Melbourne?
That was a ripper. There's a whole story to this. This is kind of cool. But I went from Hot 100 to Bendigo. I got put with a young lady who... So I remember she did not like me from the roll of the dice. Anyway, I went in one day and I said, all right, cool. The show is prepped. I said, okay, you want to do Melbourne Weather and I'll do Bendigo or vice versa. What do you want to do? Anyway, she looked at me with the most evil eyes and she's gone, I'll do it all. F-wit. So I stood up and I went, you know what? You can do the whole show yourself if you like. So I walked out. I walked out of my job and I went to sell vacuum cleaners for Kirby. So it was about a week into my trial with Kirby vacuum cleaners and, nah, couldn't do it. Job at Triple M, it came up. It was a night's role. Irene Hume, I'll never, ever forget this conversation. She rang me and she went, hey, Leroy, yep, got your demo. You start tomorrow. So I've driven to Melbourne and I'm like, this is crazy. I'm actually driving to Melbourne to be on the radio in a capital city. This is what I've always dreamed about. And I got there, she's come and grabbed me from reception. She's like, okay, you start tomorrow. Here's what you need to talk about. Here's what we're doing on the radio station. Are you going to be right? I'm like, yep, by the way. And she goes, oh, and by the way, your name's now Rowdy. It's not Leroy anymore. So I've opened up the mic the next day, and the show, what she hasn't told me is I've actually been put on air, not only in Melbourne, but on Sydney as well. This new guy, fresh from the country, from Bendigo, and she's thrust me onto the air, and I'm just like a deer in headlights. This rowdy business that she'd changed my name to was never going to work, so I changed that back pretty quickly, and that was it. Yeah, I was on Drive in two capital city radio stations for my first metro gig.
What was the biggest highlight of being on air on a major syndicated show?
They gave me a show later on. It was called The Cold 30. Take the mickey out of the Hot 30, right? And that show went to Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide. And Adelaide was my home city. I'd always wanted to be on air in Adelaide. And I finally got the opportunity, albeit I was broadcasting from Melbourne. So that was probably my highlight, I reckon. People were actually taking me seriously, and you know, all of a sudden the content director would drag you into his office and go, mate, we're going to go through your shift. And I got some pretty brutal feedback off, you know, of some of the bigger names in the industry, Dave Smith and a few of those guys, but I loved every second of it. I loved because I knew they actually gave a rip about what I was doing, and there was an opportunity for me to improve. So, you know, that would be my number one piece of advice when it comes to, you know, and not just radio, but anything, get feedback, because feedback is your friend.
It's a harsh industry. In your podcast, you do explore people have short gigs, chances they don't make it quite often. What is it about you that sees you succeed where so many people fail?
I think it's authenticity. Now, I've never, ever been anyone that I'm not. Apart from when I was at high school carrying a phone around. When it comes to breaking into the industry of radio, people do tend to put on a show. You know, this is why Kyle Sandilands is so good at what he does, and he's such a great announcer, and he's such a great talent. It's because he never changes. Christian O'Connell, exactly the same here in Melbourne. Ali Clark in Adelaide is exactly the same. She is who she is, and there's no compromise to that. The moment you start to try and be somebody else is the moment you're found out.
You've actually crossed the fence in a way. You've become a content director as well as being an on-air personality. What's it like to direct others, to give them that, you know, that hard feedback?
It's an interesting one, and it's an interesting transition. Took me a little while to get my head around it. When you're off air and you're a content director, it's about making everybody else around you great.
When you see an announcer having a crack, what makes you go, gee, they've got it?
They talk about, oh, you've got to have a certain ego to get in. Yeah, you're right. It 100% is. But I always break it down like this. Ego is edge greatness out. So the moment you start having too much ego is the moment you fall flat on your face. It's not about that anymore. So a real fine balance of, yes, you've got to have a little bit of ego, but, yes, you've got to have a little bit of persistence. You've also got to be authentic. You've got to be real. I remember doing a segment in Melbourne where I broke down on the air when I found out I had to have open-heart surgery. I opened the microphone and I said to my listeners, all right, I need to tell you why I've been away for a couple of days. We need to have a chat. Told the story about me going through open heart surgery, and I broke down on the air, and the phones lit up like a Christmas tree. So it's all about being relatable. It's all about being authentic. If you're just going to tell me about the next Pink song coming up, well, anyone can do that. But if you can tell me about an authentic moment in your life and you can relate to me and you can make me feel something, then you're on the right track.
You do a podcast now for young announcers or up-and-coming announcers. They're not all necessarily young. What do their stories tell you about your journey?
The journey's changing for different people. So you can get into radio from a podcast platform these days. You know, if you can get on air on your own podcast or somebody else's podcast, and then all of a sudden someone recognizes you or someone hears you, then all of a sudden you're in the door. Whereas when I had to do it, it was like, all right, send out a demo tape and then follow up on that demo tape and send out another one, you know, even get in the car, go for a trip like I did, all of that sort of stuff. So I think what I'm learning, I suppose, as radio evolves, is the way into radio is evolving, I suppose.
Yeah, it is a changing landscape. Just in terms of the future, what's your big dream? I mean, you've done so much already. Is that enough, or have you got
more that you want to put in your bag or under your belt?
I suppose in terms of radio, I'm really happy with where I currently sit. You know, I've worked at a metro radio station. I've been a group content director. I've done some of that high level stuff, which is great. But currently working at a Christian radio station in Geelong, and I'm loving every single minute of it because it's a new challenge. It's a new yeah. dream. It's a new opportunity to actually empower other people to come on into the radio industry. As radio shifts a little bit, so does podcasting. So that's another, you know, opportunity to open up as well. You know, can we teach people how to do a proper podcast? And every man and their dog's got a podcast at the moment. Now, every man and their dog shouldn't have one because some of them are just horrible. But if we can actually grab them and encourage them, empower them and teach them how to do presenting well, then, you know, I think we're on a winner.
Brilliant. And just to tie this all back to little old Wyala, what advice would you give to, you know, young Joe Blow that wants to come into Wyala Triple Y and wants to make it big? What advice in a nutshell would you give him or her?
Have respect for the people above you. Say g'day to Burnsy for me. Once you've done your shift, go for a walk along the beach, the most beautiful beach I've seen. Don't care what you do, but just make sure you give yourself plenty of balance. That's the one thing I didn't do when I was coming up through the ranks is I never really appreciated Wyala for what it is. It is a beautiful city. Appreciate where you are because one day you're going to come back to those surroundings and you're going to go, this is where it all started for me. I was lucky enough to actually come into the 5YYY studios. I think it was about 2 years ago, around the same time as my daughter's 22nd, and I was able to walk some people through a presentation on how to do good radio, and that was just a little bit of me going back. But I loved coming into the building where it all started for me and actually being able to go, all right, guys, well, I was here once and here's what I did and let's see what you guys have got. So, yeah, just balance for me is a big one. Go in, do your shift. Yes, you can critique it, you can do it, but make sure you appreciate where you are. Get some balance into your life.
That is just lovely, and I'm sure there's so many young people out there that are going to hear this and be so inspired. So I'm so grateful that you gave me your time today.
No worries, Mel. All right, good to catch up, and hello to everyone in Wyala.
Hey, bro, how do we get onto your podcast or your book?
Well, you can get me on Facebook for starters, but also airheadsradio.com. That is the website. You can buy the book through there, and also the podcast is online on that platform as well. So feel free to check that out. It's airheadsradio.com, and the podcast is Airheads Radio, I think, or Airheads.
Yeah, I think it's Airheads, is it? Yeah. Anyway, they can type that into Google, and it should come up, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. And I hope you have a really good day today.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for the chat. It's been good.
Thanks.
Leroy Brown there on the Wyala Legends podcast. Former Wyala boy, today content director. And, of course, he had a long and stellar career as a radio announcer broadcaster, not only Melbourne, but Sydney and Adelaide. It's a very inspiring story. You can find that on our website if you missed it. And yeah, if you like local stories and local content, make sure that you head to our Facebook page or tune into 107.7 Triple Y Community Radio, run totally by volunteers who love this city. It's been great being with you today, and I hope that you have a lovely day in Wyala or wherever you are. Have a great one. Cheers. Bye.